Okay, so this is what the topic that Moshe wanted to discuss. I think it is a nice issue conceptually to lay out. I took sources from Reiter Schinar. But the question of whether you should use oil or wax for Hadlakat Nerot Chanukah. So, as we'll see, halachically, most of the sources will point to the fact that the main concern that we have in lighting Hanukkah candles is quality of the light. The idea of mimicking the miracle is a much quieter voice, shall we say, in the tradition, but it becomes blown up in the more modern poskim. The poskim really like it. And these makarages deal with the theoretical, but obviously the next part of it, and Rav Ovadia deals with this at length, is the question of electric menorahs, right, which is a derivative of this discussion and other discussions as well, such as the stats of electricity and things like that, but it's also a derivative of this discussion, okay? So if you look at the Gemara in Shabbat, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Tam and Bet, the Gemara says that Amar Rav Huna, Ptilot Ushmanim Shamru Chachamim Ein Madlikin Behen B'Shabbat, Ein Madlikin Behen B'Chanukah. The wicks and the oils that the Chachamim said you cannot use on Shabbat, you can't use on Chanukah. Bein b'Shabbat, bein b'chol. Now, what's the context? Right? The Gemara says, why are you not allowed to use just certain wicks and certain oils on Shabbat? What's the problem? They won't burn well, and therefore what will happen? Right, Zerish Nirmayate, right? That they're going to be close to extinguishing, and you're going to try to keep them going by tilting them to make sure that they go. Right? And that's why on Shabbat, it's very important for you to have lights, to have fuel, and wicks that are steady. Rav Chista Amar Madlikin Bahen Bechol Avalo B'Shabbat. Rav Chista says you can use them for a weekday, but not Shabbat. Now, what does that sound like? Chanukah, because, right? Sounds like Chanukah, because what else during the week?
Would you be lighting Shabbat?
What would you be lighting, and there'd be halachic significance to it? Right? Yeah, that's not halakhically significant. And chol is not, Yom Tov is not chol. Right? Right, as we define as chol. So, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Matna, Amri Lamar Rav Zeira Marav, Tilot.
All the rabbis, I say this rabbi, who said this rabbi, who said this rabbi.
Welcome to Gemara.
Yep.
Tilot, Shemanim, Shemar Chachamim, Ein Madlikin Ben B'Shabbat, Madlikin Ben Mechanakah, Ben Mechol, Ben B'Shabbat. He says, no, the wicks that you're not allowed to use on Shabbat, you're still allowed to use on Chanukah, whether it's Chol or Shabbat. Now, why? Now, the interesting thing is, what is he talking about? Well, Chanukah candles, probably, but could also be Shabbat Chanukah candles on Shabbat, or is it Shabbat candles on Chanukah, right? So you tell me. So what's the difference of, right, what's the major difference about Chanukah? So, no, they're both probably Darabana in terms of the lighting. Shabbat is Daraita, but not the, but what's the big difference? Correct, is that the ones on Chanukah you're not allowed to benefit from, right? Whereas the ones on Shabbat, that's the point, is benefiting from them. So right now, we should be clear that here, none of these mean candle, they mean lamp. We'll see what it means. And Amar Rav Huna, now really the next line which we should have here is, my time Rav Huna, I'll just read it to you inside, Kasavar Kavta Zakukla, Umutr Lishtameish L'Ora. Rav Chisar and Likim Ben Bechol, Lo B'Shabbat, Kasavar Kavta Ein Zakukla. What's the difference? That Rav Huna holds that if they go out, you have to relight them, and you're allowed to use the light. Okay? And therefore, since you can use them, you have to use lights that you're allowed to use on Shabbat. And Rabbi Zeira, holds like Rav Chisda, that if it goes out, you don't have to relight it. And right, sorry, he holds you're allowed to use it, but Amar Zir Marav Mat, Amar La Amar of Zir Marav, Til Shinwanim Shamar Kham Aimaling Majan Madlin and Khanavin Khoban Shabbat, and you mean my time at the Rav. And what's the reason? Ksavar Kafta Ain Zakuk Lava Asr Lashamish La Ras. The Gemara clarifies because he holds that if it's distinguished, you don't have to relight it, and you aren't allowed to use the light. And therefore, even on Shabbat, we're not worried that you're going to, right, you're going to try to fix the flame, because since you don't have to relight Hanukkah candles in general once they go out, and you're not allowed to use the light of the Hanukkah candles, therefore the concerns we have on Shabbat, when you have oils that are kacha kacha, right, we don't have on Shabbat, because, on Hanukkah, even on Shabbat, because the Hanukkah candles, we are not worried that you are going to use them. Right? So, Kiyata Ravin, Amro Rabbanik Made Rabbi, Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan, Ve Kibla. Okay. The Gemara on Chav Gimel continues this discussion and says, Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Kola Shmanin Kulan Yafin Laner, all oils are good for lamps. The Shemen Zayit Min Hamuvchar. But olive oil is the best. And Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Meiresh Have Mahadar Ma'amishcha Deshum Shemei. Originally, he would dafka go for sesame oil. Because Amar Hai Mashich Nehora Tvei. Because he said, this candle is. It draws that light better. Cave and the Shame Lord Yeshua ben Levi. Once he heard from Yeshua ben Levi that the best of all lights is olive oil, Mahadar Amishcha de Zeta. He would always try to find olive oil. Now, because Amar Haitzel Nurit face it, its light is most clear. Now, in the first Gemara, it was pretty clear what we were talking about. What about the second Gemara? Is the second Gemara talking about Shabbat or talking about Hanukkah? Well, so this is not clear, right? So Tosfot says, Mereisha v'mahadeh marmishka d'shum shemei, nire d'anir Hanukkah koi. Tosfot thinks that this is talking about Hanukkah. Now, why is that weird? No, this is the main place in Shas where we're talking about. And Shabbat candles and Hanukkah candles. The whole Sugya right here. Why is this weird? Because what did we just establish earlier? That La Halacha, we don't care as much about Hanukkah candles, how bright the light is, because we're not worried that you're going to use it, and therefore we're not worried that you're going to try to fix it. And Kavta Ein Zakuk Lo, if it goes out, you don't have to worry about it. Right? So why are you so obsessed? Right? So what's the Gemara going to tell you? Right, meaning, you're right. It may be that what Tosfos clearly thinks is that even though using a clear light is less critical on Hanukkah than it is on Shabbat, because on Hanukkah, if you use really good light, so it'll be, I don't know, better Persumei Nisa. And if you do not as good light, then what? Well, meaning it'll be more or less. Shabbat, obviously, the problem of using bad oil is what? Then you will end up violating Shabbat, which is much, 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 much worse. Right? Because you'll end up fixing the lamp because it's not giving you the proper light. But just because on Shabbat we are stricter doesn't mean that what?
That you're out of the woods for Hanukkah.
Right. It doesn't mean that on Hanukkah we don't care at all. It doesn't mean that on Hanukkah we just don't care. Of course on Hanukkah we care. What? Right, plus we care, right? It's true that once it goes out, if you lit it with oil that could last for the proper half an hour, you don't have to relight it, but you're supposed to light it with oil that can last a half an hour, right? If you don't put enough oil that it can last, you're not Yotze, even though, right? So therefore, Joseph says, listen, I think that even though it's true that it's less strict on Hanukkah, correct, and we should time the Mazik Navshin Aritzvei. But he says on Shabbat, you don't even have to tell me. On Shabbat, obviously, the best oil that you can use you should use lefishanim, right? And Tosafot continues lefishanim shach agrapti latvemi kulu mazin the kulu modu bemamlikin, because everyone agrees that what we want you to do ideally is what is use the best one that the.
So what about candles?
That what's it called? One second. No. One is more enduring and more clear. That's correct, right? It's saying two things, that the flame will be clearer.
I must take even to show
so it's, I mean, it seems to be that it's both.
But olive oil is both more enduring.
Why is he mentioning this one is more this one, this one is more this one? Sounds like he's contrasting the two.
Yeah, in which case, he would think that initially.
I would think for Shabbos it should be the most enduring.
Yeah, exactly, because we're worried about it going out. Versus Hanukkah, I mean, like, there's obviously something to have it going on a long time.
There was a machlokus what it should be if you say this Star on Hanukkah, which is more important, that it's enduring or that you have better perseverance.
Okay, maybe. Right, maybe.
And then the Nafkamini can learn out is what's actually better for pursuing Nisa.
Right. Now, based on this, right. Now, based on this Tosafot, though, right, let's assume for a moment like Tosafot, okay? It's true, you could read the Gemara differently, as Tosafot himself notes, right? Tosafot says, I think this is about Hanukkah, right? You could read it not about Hanukkah, right? As Tosafot said, what Tosafot takes is obvious, that it's about Shabbat, right? Meaning, it's about Hanukkah because Shabbat would have been obvious, right? You could have just read this Gemara and say, okay, it's reiterating the laws about Shabbat. But let's take Tosafot for a second. Right, so what is Tosafot teaching us? Now, what is the standard for Hanukkah candles? And why? Why? Because it's the most clear light, it is the most lasting light, right? Quibbles, right? And if that's the case, right, then what is going to be the rule when we figure out what oil, candle, whatever we should use for Hanukkah candles? What's going to be the rule?
Whatever's
the clearest, very good, right? Correct, but we want it to be clear, right? It probably presuming Nisa. Right, probably because what type of miracle is that, right? What type of publicizing the miracle is it? It's like, oh, I think I see a flame. I think I see a flame.
Also, the
I can't tell. It doesn't really, I don't see much. I mean, they're sort of, it's not dark, but I'm not really sure what I'm seeing, right? Like, there's, but that I think is Tosafot's Chiddush. Tosafot's saying, look, by Shabbat, where you can use the light, and we're worried that you're going to start playing with it, obviously, 100%, it needs to be
clear.
Clear. But that doesn't mean that, like, Hanukkah, yes, we're not worried you're going to be Mechallel Hanukkah. We're not worried. But, like, are you telling me that L'chadchila, you should just have horrible, like, just have a horrible, like, what? Why, right? That doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you do that? And therefore, he assumes that what? That right, that even by Hanukkah you should use it, yes. And then what you have here from candles.org, right, is that you have to what? No, it's just that you have to remember that the reality was that when you look in Poskim and they say candles aren't good.
We're talking about right, tallow candles.
Right. The candles they're talking about are legitimately, right, on this standard of quality of light. The candles they're talking about are, in fact, worse. And therefore, it's very hard to figure out whether our candles would fit, because our candles are not like their tallow candles, which are, like, pathetic, right? Right? Ours are, in fact, amazing. And as you probably know, when you light nice Shabbos candles, they give you a nice, steady flame that's easy to light, that's easy to... Correct. Now it's just like... Correct, right? And he said most early Western culture relied primarily on candles rendered from animal fat, tallow. A major improvement came in the Middle Ages when beeswax candles, which, by the way, also burned very nicely, were introduced in Europe.
I've tried beeswax candles that used to burn out before. I thought it was an hour.
No, it's half an hour. But I have beeswax. They're fine. Beeswax, not in general. I have some beeswax candles. Beeswax burned pure and cleanly without producing a smoky flame. It often made a pleasant, sweet smell rather than foul, acrid odor of tallow, which is true. Beeswax has this nice little what?
It's like Maxwell House with the it's all good on Hanukkah. I mean, that's coming from candles.org.
I don't know what candles.org is, okay?
Look it up. It's just a candle enthusiast.
No, I didn't. Look at the top.
A candle enthusiast non-profit.
Okay. But according to Tosfot, right, so the way Tosfot understands the sugya is that fundamentally the rule about which oils you should use on Hanukkah, it's not as severe as Shabbat, but fundamentally the rule is quality, durability, clarity, right? On that standard, if we just had that standard, what would you say about using candles versus oil? No, right? If that was our only standard, I would say our candles are great, maybe even better, right? Well, olive oil, sometimes it's a little bit of a pain in the neck. I mean, you can get olive oil with a nice flame, but right, but it can spill, and if you balance the wick wrong, then you don't get quite a nice flame, right? And it smells, and it this, as opposed to like, you know, if you use like Shabbos candles, right? Forget like the little tiny candles, which you're not, you would say, for half of Hanukkah, right?
Are you serious? I've always been using them. I wouldn't use small candles.
Small candles. The little free little ones you get in the box, the first night, maybe last half an hour. When you have eight candles together, they don't. They last like 15 minutes. So, what?
Menorahs don't come that big.
No, they just, it's a problem. I remember I may have been saying it, but you can see it. This is not like, I mean, look, I'm happy for you to do the experiment.
So the ones are this big. The ones are like this big. Like
the bigger ones. No, like I'm happy for you to like to do the experiment. Light eight of those candles in a menorah and see whether they last for half an hour. They don't. They just don't. Not when they have eight, and especially maybe the koshe if you have one menorah. But when like the whole family is lighting menorahs together and you have like just tens of these little candles on the eighth day, they like the thing. First of all, it's a, like you just feel like it's going to explode in a burst of flame. But also, like, it does not last. Like, the heat, it just doesn't last that long. No, the bigger candles do. You get, like, the long, the hour and a quarter candles. So by the eighth day, when it's like that, it's still going to last like 45 minutes or that.
Be a brattle of a dog?
For sure. Not potentially, it is. Yeah, those are the bigger ones. I mean the ones that, like, I don't mean the birthday cake. The birthday cake, like 5 minutes. I mean the ones that you're walking in the street and the Chabad guy says, have you put on tefillin? No, here's tefillin and here's candles. Right? That guy. Because technically they do last half an hour, 30, 35 minutes. It's just it happens to be the way people space candles by the end.
If you have one, a half hour.
Correct. The first day is fine. The first day is fine. Right? It's like the eighth day where things get more complicated.
Last year, I went to the store and I bought a box of, it's 44 glass jars with 44 wicks, and it's all taken care of for you, and
you
it was
60 okay.
shekels, and it was worth it.
Now, despite this dominant view, right, that the main issue is quality, right, there is this secondary view that is introduced in the poskim, which is the idea that we use olive oil, because it's domet the way the nace was, it's echel and nace. Now, this is a very late thing. Not late. Okay, there are people who say, well, here, look at the following. Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Kol ha-shmanim v'ptilot ksherim l'ner Chanukah. All oil and wicks are kasher for Chanukah. V'av al pi she'ein ha-shmanim nimshachim achar ptila v'inanor or nitle yafeb otam ha-ptilot. Right, so this seems to be, Shulchan Aruch seems to be passing like Tosfot, right, which is, all oil and all wicks is kosher, right? Even though they're not nimshach, right? I mean, which is what Tosfot said. They're not ideal. Olive oil is the best. As long as it lights, it's kosher, but it's better for it to be higher quality. And that's what the Rama writes. Umihu shemen zayin mitzvah min amuvcha. Now, if I just stop there, would you know in the Rama why he says that oil is better? Yes, but then Haggai switches, right? That's the Rama's comments on Zohar. So mitzvah min amuvchar, good. Why would you say mitzvah min amuvchar? Good, why? But why? No, but if you just have this, do you know why he says it's best? You have no idea. Tosfot said the same thing. Tosfot said all candles are good, but olive oil is better because it's a better candle, it's a better flame. Right? Correct? Right? That's all he says. Right? Is there anything in here that is not found in Tosfot? Correct. He's saying everything is kosher, even if it doesn't burn well. But oil is the best. That is exactly. Is there anything in those words that are different than Tosfot? No. Right. The ein shem and zayit matzoi mitzvah b'shonim she'orach zach v'naki. And then verbal what he says, but what already, now, what is less clear is the next line. This is where the Rama says, and if you can't find olive oil, find some other oil that is pure and clean. So if I had that line, now what would you say? Right? He says, if you don't have olive oil, then it make sure to at least have a clear flame. So now what would you say? What is the Rama saying? Why is he saying, if you don't have oil, get a clear one? Because what does that imply? He's aware of non-olive oil options that are still clear. So what does that mean? Now what does that tell you? Why does he think that?
There's like two standards of.
So there's two possible ways of reading that line in the Rama. What would they be?
That you might have initially oil, thought that olive oil was special in some.
So one is to say, correct. One is to say that he doesn't really mean olive oil is the best. I mean, maybe he thinks practically olive oil is the best. But if you don't have that, so get something else that's clear. Meaning, he fundamentally agrees with Tosfot. He thinks maybe practically olive oil is the best. But if you have something else that's clear, it's gum good. Right? Or, correct. Or he's introducing another standard. He's saying, look, there's one level at which it's about quality of the light. But there's a second thing that, independent of that, even if you could get something else that was clear,
we like olive oil.
We like olive oil for some other reason.
Well, I was saying there's two standards. There's clear oil and non-clear oil, and then olive oil is like on top of the clear oil.
No, so that would be this, right? That would be to say, listen, there's two questions. One is clarity, and on that level, olive oil is equivalent to everything else. But olive oil has an added dimension, right? At this line in the Rama, it's not clear what she means, right? We don't know why. But then what does he say in his next line? And the minhag where we live is for people to use wax candles. Because their light is as clear as oil. So once the Rama records the minhag, so now what would you say?
Well, I don't exactly know what he's doing by recording the minhag. Is he just saying what?
He's saying it's okay. It's because it's clear, right? So on balance, if you read this, what would you think? Does the Rama think that olive oil has like a new chalos? Or is he saying, like, I think olive oil is the best, but like, hey, that we actually have something that's just as good, which is candles, and that's what we use. It's status. So it's not clear in the Rama, right? It's not clear in the Rama, because he could be saying, look, the minhag is to use candles, maybe because that's what we have, and it's clear, right? He could just be saying, look, it's easy. We have candles. They're clear. It's enough. Maybe it doesn't get the greatest one, but it's fine. Right? Or he's saying, no, this whole halacha is only about clarity. Right? And therefore he's saying, nowadays we have candles that are just as clear as olive oil. And therefore, you can use that. So now if you look at the sources for the Rama, let's see if we get some clarity. So, right, the Rama, if you looked at the footnote, at the parentheses, quoted three sources, Mordechai, Kolbo, and Maharil, right? Those are his three sources. So let's look at his three sources and see which argument he was actually making, okay? So, the Mordechai. Mordechai number six says, Umaharam Zal, right? So the Mordechai is quoting the Maharam Mirutenberg because he's one of the students of the Maharam Mirutenberg, right? Who are the main students of the Maharam Mirutenberg? Okay, who is the Maharam Mirutenberg? Let's do some bios. We haven't done this in a while. Right, the Maharam is the last of the German Balei HaTosfot, yes. Right? And you have the bios all written down? Oh, good. So the Maharam is 1215 to 1293. Right? He's one of the final, if not the final, Balei HaTosfot in Germany. He has three... He has three very major Talmidim who all write halachic works that are attached to the work of a Svardi Posek. Two are attached to the Rif, and one is attached to the Ramba. Right? The ones that attach to the Rif are the Mordechai, right? Mordechai ben Hillel, and the Rush, right? Rabbeinu Asher.
Oh my God.
And then he. Which of his Talmidim writes a commentary that's attached to the Rambam, the Haggot Maimonio, written by Rav Baruch Magensa? Right? So the Mordechai quotes the Maharam, and he says, HaMaharam Zayaragil B'Shabbat Lahadlik B'Shemen Zayit B'Shragot K'tanot Shal Matech. On Shabbat, the Maharam would use olive oil and small little metal lamps. V'taimo, what was his lodge? Rothenburg, yes. V'ta'amo haya dimaya shel cheres. If it were clay, hayetzarich v'chol layla chadashim. He would need new ones every day. K'detanya, ein madlikin b'ner yashan. We put it above 3 tvachim and below 10 tvachim. Now, in the Mahara, in the Mordechai, is there any evidence why he used olive oil? No. Right? He just did use olive oil. Right?
Okay.
Right? That's all we know, is he used olive oil. Meaning maybe it's because he thought it was nice, because it's in conjunction with the fact that he would use metal rather than clay cups, because the clay cups were disgusting. Right? So maybe it's just about quality. Right, not totally clear, but from the Mordechai, all we know is he used olive oil. Why?
We don't know.
I don't know. Maharil. Haya Maharil tochev ha-shamosh l'malim kol ha-neirot. He would put the shamosh above all the lights. V'siman v'sum shvalim l'malim. Right, that we would put, the siman was, put the lowly above, meaning the shamosh is not important, so he'd put it above. Oh, siman. Srafim omdim ma'alo. Another is that the Srafim stand above, right? Which means that the Lamed Vav Hanukkah candles, aside from the Shamashim, right? That the, right? So it's Mima'al to the Lamed Vav, right? Because why do we have 44 candles in Hanukkah? It's 36 plus 8, right? Meaning you can do the math very easily. 1 plus 8 is 9, times 4 is 36, 36 halachic candles, and 8 mar for the shamash. So the 8 are above the low, above the lamed vav. Yes? Ratzalomer lamed vav neirot, chanukah milvad Hashem Hashem Jumatkuhen, heim asrafim yamdu mal ha lamed vav, hidlik al shemen zayit, and he used to light with olive oil. Good. In the Maharil, he used olive oil. Why? He did. So far from the Mordechai and the Maharil, two of the three sources for the Rama, why did they use olive oil? They did. Does that tell us why? Hadlik al Shem and Zayit. Correct, he used olive oil. So all we know from these sources is, did they use olive oil? Yes. Why? Uh-huh.
I wonder if the Kolbo is going to give an answer.
The Kolbo, on the other hand, said, HaMitzvah Muvcheret B'Shem and Zayit. Lefisha bo hayahanes. The Kolbo. Now, who's the Kolbo? Yeah, who's the Kolbo? The problem is, if you Google Kolbo, you're going to go out of supermarkets called Kolbo, because Kolbo means everything in it, right? And therefore, it becomes a nickname for a.
Kolbo. Kolbo is a collection of Jewish ritual and civil laws. Its author has not yet been ascertained.
Very good. We don't know who he is. He's okay. A Provençal. We're not entirely sure who he is. But he's some Provençal, Talmud Chacham, yes. So he introduces this idea.
Yosef Karo is one of the
No. You are off by a few hundred years.
Oh, wait. No, never mind. No, Yosef Karo gives an option.
Yes, that it does say. Correct. Correct. That he does do. But the Kolbo introduces this idea that, the reason to use oil is because.
That's the oil that was used.
Correct. Correct. Now, later posts can make a big deal of this, okay? So for example, the Ateret Zkenim quotes the Maharal of Prague and the Sefer Ner Mitzvah, who says that you're not Yotze Ner Chanukah with wax candles. Right? So some people take it not just that it's like Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, right? Because you could read this as saying, look, the best way to do the Mitzvah is with olive oil because it mimics the miracle. But there are people like the Maharal who say,
but he's not denying clarity.
The Kolbo doesn't deny the issue of clarity. He just says it's better because don't. But it's not clear to him that that's not like an added dimension, right? It's not clear exactly. Mitzvah and Amuvchar. you have post-him like Maral of Prague were quoted as saying no. Like, they take this idea much farther and say that the definition of the mitzvah is that it has to mimic the miracle, and therefore you must use, one second, you must use olive oil and not wax candles. But that's a very extreme position, because as we saw, the three sources of the Ramah, two of them just said they used olive oil. And even the Kolbo says, no, he used olive oil dafka because it mimics the miracle. It's mimicked in Mavokar. So to take it like the Maral of Prague, that you must use olive oil because you must mimic the miracle, that is already a giant step farther. And that's why many, many poskim reject this, right? And that's why many poskim, right, thought that. So for example, right, Rav Avadia quotes the Shu'at Mayim Chayim as saying that the reason that the minhag is to use wax candles is because they're clear. They're clear as oil, and therefore there's no benefit to using oil at all. And I'll just throw out, and maybe we'll come back to it, right, that this is Rav Avadia's example. He quotes this tshuva of Rav Yosef Mesas. I didn't give it to you. I have it, but we'll come to it, right? But Rav Yosef Mesas is so convinced that the only issue is quality, right, that A, he thinks that wax candles are just as good as
oil,
if not better. And then he goes even farther, and he says that electric lights are even clearer. And therefore, electric lights are lechatchila shebechad lechatchila. You definitely would not have thought that. I don't think he does for menorah. I think for the shamash. Oh, for shamash. Shamash is a different story. Shabbos is a different thing.
So, Rabbi, how do we know, though, by the way, that the oil used to basically was olive oil?
Pasuk in the Torah.
It's Shem's eyes.
Yes.
How do you know that his eyes have been olive
oil?
That's just
simple. Oh, it could have been lost. It could be a different thing all to begin with. I'm joking around, of course.
Right. Now, right, just the next two sources here, just note, right, that olive oil, saying to use olive oil is quite a chiddush, right? Because in Western Europe and in Poland, they didn't really use olive oil. They used lard, right? The French used some olive oil, but the Poles used hemp or poppy seed, meaning olive oil was pretty rare, hemp. And olive oil was ubiquitous in the Mediterranean, but it was expensive elsewhere. Now, the Mishnah Brura paskins seemingly like the interpretation of the Kolbo. He says, when we call makom mitzvah b'shel shemen tfei miner chil shava, the mitzvah is more with wax candles than oil. Dal yidei ha-shemen naseh hanes. Right, because through olive oil, we have the miracle, right? So the Mishnah Brura accepts, right, he accepts this. Right, meaning the kolbo is that it's a lechatchila, right? Meaning he takes the kolbo, but as we read the kolbo, that it's a lechatchila, that, you know, this is an added nicety, right? It's an added nicety, but
don't forget that you can still be out there.
But for example, when you read, like, if you look at the Archa Shulchan, right, instead, he doesn't say this, right? I didn't give it to you, but if I look, compare, for comparison, he says, mitzvah min amokhar lahad lit neirat chanukah b'shemen zayit. The mitzvah is to use olive oil. Why? I'm sorry, he actually quotes both. One lefiu shunim shach akar aptila yafev, it's all naharatveh, it's bright. Vot janez nasa b'shemen zayit, and the miracle is dot vim ein sham shemen zayit, matzoi mitzvah b'shari shmanim shara. Zach v'naki v'noagim, and he quotes the Ramah that the minog here is l'hadlik b'nar shel shava, to use candles, right? To use wax candles. And then he notes that in his time there was even more that was fattened. There was certain fat candles that apparently were even better, and he's like, use that. Right. Now, look, it is definitely true that olive oil, though, was pretty rare. I mean, Have you ever seen the ads, the amazing ads in the 1950s No. About Crisco?
Yes.
No.
I know what you're talking about.
Right? They're hysterical. Right? So.
Crisco was a miracle product.
So. Oh, no, earlier, 1911. I haven't seen it in the 50s. But, right? But just to give you an idea of how central these things were, right? Right? There were these ads. I'm trying to find the picture. When they were advertising that it was a dream for Balabustas, I think it was, right? That because their dreams have come true with Crisco, because now you have something that you can bake with that's parif. Right? Like that was how they advertised in the kosher community, because now you had this, because otherwise you were going to use chicken fat. Right? That was great. Right, because that was what people used. They used fat, right? So the idea to use oil really was quite a chiddush, okay? Right? So model one is to say that the only thing we really care about is the quality of the light, right? And that's what you have in Tosfot. For all we know, that's what you have in the Mordechai and the Maharil, because they don't give us much, right? But then you have this in Dragon the Kolbo, which might be what the Rambam means. The Mishnah Berurah thinks it's what it means as a secondary level. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks it's what the Mishnah Berurah means as a secondary level, which is that in addition to the quality of light, we also care about
it being olive oil.
Right, we care about also Gamelanes, which of course, because of the centrality of the miracle in Pirsum Anes, it makes sense. There is a value to
actually using the oil.
Yeah, to mimicking the miracle, okay? There is a third, now, remember we said that the Maharal does not like it? So one reason the Maharal doesn't like wax candles is because he thinks that you really need the miracle, right? But he has another reason, and that's what you have in 12 that made him even angrier. Right, he says, I saw things that people are accustomed to do, and they are shocking, shocking, shocking to me. Shocking. And I must mention them. And the person who cares about mitzvot, who's wise and cares about mitzvot, will contemplate and choose what is right. One, people use, I don't want to say it, I mean, it's just dirty. People use candles. Shh. Gvalt, these candles. Oi! He says, what's the problem? He said, first of all, there are those who really care to light with Shem and Zayit because of the Beit HaMikdash, which he seems to take as not ma'akev, but like, not just good, like, Good plus. But then he says, I got a bigger problem for you. It's not just that, like, it's, you know, this centrality of the miracle is important, but he says, candles count, are garnished. They're nothing. Right? Why? The low nikra ner klal. It's not a ner. Now, here's where we have to be clear. A ner doesn't mean a candle. What does a ner mean in
lamp?
It means a lamp. It means a lamp. Correct? Ner means a lamp. What is the opposite of ner in the Gemara? No. Come on, my bedikar chametz guys. Avuka, very good. Is a torch, right? The opposite of a lamp is a torch. Right, you can have many different things that count as a lamp, but whenever the mitzvah is lamp, what you never want is torch, as we saw with Bidikar Chametz, that you need a ner, right, and not an avuka. Which is all correct. An avuka is also an oil lamp. So what's the difference between a ner and an avuka? If both of them are oil lamps, why is one a lamp and one a torch? Correct. It's a question of size. It's a question of number of wicks. Right? Where if you have a single wick, it's an air. If you have a bunch of floating wicks, that's called, and the fires all together, we call that an avuka. Right? So he says, Rags and Nikra Nair, Shinot and Lashem and Bekli, Umanich and Shem Ptila, Shazen Nikra Nair. Now, why does he think it's not an air? So he says, you know what the definition of an air is? It's only where you have oil in a vessel with a wick. right? But what's the difference about wax? Lo kasher korchan hashava ala ptila. But he thinks that one of the differences between a wick and a torch, sorry, a lamp and a torch is you put the wick in the fuel or the fuel on the wick, right? And he says a lamp, you take the fuel and then you put a wick in it. And he says, what, right? As opposed to saying it's about multiple flames, he says, when you take the wick and then you wrap it in fuel, I'm aware that this distinction is not super compelling. It's not super compelling. I do get this. But he thinks that when you're korchin sha'avala ptila, that you wrap the wax around the wick, v'chein chelev sha'korchin ala ptila, or fat, lav nerhu rak avuka, that isn't a ner, that is a torch. What? But the torch doesn't work. You need a nair.
What's the difference? You think it's better light anyway.
It is not better light. A torch is not better light. No. No, it's not. It's a different type of light. It shakes more. It doesn't have pinpoint precision. It is general light. Right? This is in the context of, as we know, in the context of Bdikat Chametz, Mura says, yes, Avuka provides more light, but it's a shaky light. Right, a single candle may be less light, but it shines steadily, right? And it can be used in corners as opposed to avuka, which is scary, and it jumps back and forth, and it can burn your house down.
Oh my god, it's terrible! Why would anybody ever use it for any mitzvah?
No, you should never use it. Never use it. Terrible, terrible. Oi, oi, po, po, po. Yeah, great. Okay. So that is, right, that is point three. That maybe it's not about olive oil per se, it's that we don't like candles. We don't like candles, what we call candles, right? We want lamps, not candles, because candles are torches. Yeah? Okay. Now, the fourth issue here is not so much the oil per se, but what? But the issue of the mikdash, right? It's not about mimicking the, right? It's not just about mimicking the Nes Hanukkah. It's about mimicking the mikdash, right? Because really those are two things, right? You understand that those are two things, right? Meaning the miracle of Hanukkah happened to have been that when we wanted to light the menorah of Hanukkah, or the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash, it lasted for 8 days. And therefore, you might want oil to mimic the miracle. But there's another reason why you might want oil, and that is to mimic the Mikdash. It's not an Afkamina.
What's an Afkamina?
No, it's a different model. It's what are you mimicking, right? Are you mimicking the Nes? Are you mimicking?
Well, the Nes was lighting the Nes too.
Correct, but what's the? But what is the?
What are we supposed to draw from the menorah?
So again, right? Meaning potentially you could have a difference whether, right? Because if the Beit HaMikdash, if the miracle in the Beit HaMikdash was simply with olive oils, and that's what you have to do. But if there were halacha, like even the Beit HaMikdash, you could use other oils, right? Or something like that, right? No, you can't use other oils, but whatever, right? Okay, it's another way of getting at the same point, right? So if you look quickly, so we already read, right? So the Gemara in Shabbat Chaf Aleph tells you the story was, right? My Chanukah, the Tana Rabbanan, B'chavei B'kislev Yimei Chanukah, Temnai Yinun, right? On the 25th of Kislev, there are 8 days of Chanukah, the Lo Misvad Bam, the Lo Ta'anat Bam, that you shouldn't eulogize or fast. Why? Because right? We know this story. 8 days, they didn't have oil, blah, blah, blah. Yes, we know this story. And the next year, they made days of halal and hodah. Remember, we read that in the Rambam? Yeah, that was in 14, right? Right, that the Rambam says that because of this, right, we institute Yimei Simcha V'Halel, Right? Sure. Right? Okay. Look at the Ramban in 15, right? We already read the Rambam extensively last week. But the Ramban adds, Ra'iti ol bilam deinu, I saw in the Midrash Tanchuma, v'chein the Midrash Rabbah, that, right? This is a totally different source. We talked about this last year, Parshat Bahalokha. The Midrash Tanchuma says, remember this argument? The Midrash Tanchuma, I'll tell you outside, that Aaron is sad. Why is he sad? Because the Nesi'im bring Karbanot, and he doesn't get to bring Karbanot at the Chanukah Mishkan. What does God say to him? Don't worry, you have a greater mitzvah. What's your mitzvah? Hadleket Nerot. Their mitzvah is temporary, yours is forever. And the Ramban says, what is the Chuma talking about? Didn't the lighting of the candle in the Beit HaMikdash end with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash? What's the Ramban's answer? Nerot Chanukah are Keneged, not the miracle of Chanukah. What are they? They're Aaron's promise that his avod in the Beit HaMikdash will go on forever. Right? What does that show you? That Adlaka Nerot is not domed just to the nace of the Baruch HaShemen, but... Correct. So look at the Midrash, the Ramban quotes it. The Amar Loka, there's Baruch HaMoshe, God said to Moshe, Lech Emor La'aron, it's 15. Lech Emor La'aron, Al Titiarei, go tell Aaron, don't be afraid. L'gdula Mizot Atamuchan, you're ready for something greater. HaKarbanot, Kol Zman Shebeit HaMikdash, Kayam, Hey Nagin. Karbanot, sacrifices, only exist as long as the Beit HaMikdash exists. Aval ha-nerot, but the candles, la'olam el-mul p'nei menorah iru, they will be forever. V'chol ha-brachot j'natati, chol ha-varech, et banai, en avadein la'olam. The brachot I give you forever. He says, v'hinei, ha-dabar yadua, k'kasher Beit HaMikdash kayam, ha-karbanot b'teilin. We know that when the Beit HaMikdash is not around, and the karbanot are void, aren't the candles not lit either? Answer of a Loramzul Nerot Chanukah Chashmonai. But it reminds us of the Chanukah candles. She no heged af la'achar churban begalu tenu. Right? So if you take this approach, it's not just that the Chanukah candles are Zecher too. The Chanukah miracle, but they're Zecher too. The daily lighting in the mikdash, which happens to be the place of the expression of the miracle of Chanukah, but maybe that's why olive oil is so important. Now, I will point out that the Ramban defends the Bahag in number 16. Remember, the Rambam's first rule of counting mitzvot is, don't count mitzvot derabanan. And the Ramban says, why not? Why not? The Bahag counts Chanukah. What's wrong with counting Chanukah? Right? Which shows you, right, that he says, right, look at his line. Right? The Rambam says, the Bahag counted Chanukah, which tells you that Chanukah for the Bahag is so important, right, that it integrates into Taryag Mitzvot somehow. And the Ravid says, as goes as far as to say, as follows in 17. Vim Yomar kol mitzvah shemin devarim omar al shukin reshud. We're going to get to this sugya on Dav Zayin. That on all mitzvah you say al instead of le. Kashel in Chanukah. Why in Chanukah do we say lahad lik ner shel Chanukah? Ulay mibnei shein lakitzva. Maybe it's because it has no limit. Shemahadrin mosifin mechem mahadrin mahadrin biyoter. Right, because it has multiple levels. Mahadrin mahadrin mahadrin. So it's a special type of mitzvah. Inami mipnei shezu abracha hukbea al neir shevemikdash in shel Torah. The bracha is a holdover from the Ravid suggests a huge chiddush that lahadlik neir shel whatever was the language used in the Beit HaMikdash, and we model l'ficha rasuki shel Torah. We model our bracha not after neir chasmonai, but after the hadlaka neirot in the Beit HaMikdash. Right? So, if you take that model, so now we have another svarat to say that you should use olive oil, parallel to the Beit HaMikdash. Right? That lakat nerot of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, this opens a can of worms. Why? Right? So this opens a can of worms because then we have to ask, okay, but how do we work this in with the way we conceptualize other Zecher LaMikdash? Right? Because we have other things that we do, there's Zecher LaMikdash. And when did we ever hear that Halakha Chanukah? Not only that, what do we do with all the Gemara? Sure, and then we have to figure out what are all the Gemara's talking about clarity, and you'll have to say there's some added dimension. But it is now 5:30, and who gives you an hour, right? So I'm going to have to stop. Even though we almost got to the end, we'll have to pick up and polish it off next time. But next time what we'll do is we'll broaden the discussion, talk about Zecher al-Mikdash, right? And then we'll talk about some of the issues that Moshe brought up, which is, okay, once you have olive oil, what about the congealed oils and stuff like that? Right? How does that work? And because we have a little bit of extra time, what I'll do is I'll give you a Bavadia's Tshuva, if you want, about electric lights, right? Where you can see all the other factors. So I'll just print out Bavadia's Tshuva for you, and you can see his discussion of it there, okay?